Amen. This would normally be the time where I say kids are dismissed to their classrooms, but you're not dismissed to your classrooms. You are stuck in here with us today, so deal with it. Thank you, worship team. Great job, Hazel. That was great. She was here during practice on Wednesday, and she came up to sing just to kind of see what key they should put that song in at the end, and then he said, well, I don't remember who said, but do you want to just sing it on Sunday? And she's like, okay. So she's just super brave, and that was awesome. So very, very cool. We are going to continue in worship by turning in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. So we are finally in the last chapter of Ephesians. We started preaching through Ephesians in January, and we are finally rounding the corner and heading for home here. So we are in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We've been working our way through Paul's quote-unquote household code, his principles, or I should say God's principles for how the family is called to live. We spent the last 2 weeks on the marriage relationship between wives and husbands, and now we're going to see what God's Word has to say about kids and parents. It's actually pretty cool. You know, this letter would have been read aloud in its entirety to the church, and so Paul is writing this letter from prison, he's thinking about the people hearing it in church, and he's reminded that there's kids in there. And so he kind of takes a turn in the letter and he addresses the children in the worship gathering directly, which also, just kind of as an aside, shows us that children were a part of the early church worship gatherings. And that's part of the reason why we have kids as a part of our worship gatherings every Sunday morning before they head down to Rock Prairie Kids. I think it's really important for kids to experience the worship of the church and the full church. And it's really, I think, formative to grow up worshiping next to maybe your parents or your grandparents, or seeing other people in the church, young and old, big and small, all worshiping God together. And so that's why we do that. And so Paul, like I said, he's addressing kids. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do with our sermon. We're going to address kids. Kids, I'm going to talk to you about what you're supposed to do, but don't worry, at the end I'm going to tell your parents what they have to do too, okay? So yes, I'm going to talk to you guys at first, but I'm going to tell your parents what they're supposed to do afterwards. Does that sound good? And what do you think we should do before we do any of that? Probably pray, huh? Do you think? Okay, so let's do that. So bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you we just sang about and heard your word read, for your deep love for us, God. So we pray as your body, as your bride, as your church, God, that we would do whatever we can to obey you and to seek after you with our whole hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. It says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Kids, where's my kids? Raise your hand. I have one kid. He's up front. I mean, where's the kids here? There we go. And we'll say 17 and under, raise your hand. This is who this passage is addressing this morning. Did you know that you are really important to Jesus? In fact, there's a time when Jesus was teaching a bunch of people, and people kept bringing their kids up to Jesus, and they like put the kids on Jesus' lap and ask him to pray for them. And this made the disciples around Jesus really upset. They're like, stop bothering Jesus with all these crying, snotting, whining kids. And you're bothering him, they said. And you know what Jesus said? He said, I can't remember if I have it on the slide or not. I have it on. Oh, I need to turn this on. Every week, kids, you're not in here most of the time at this point. Every week, I forget to turn my remote control on, and this is just part of it. There it is. So it's not on the slide. We're off to a roaring start here this morning. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples when they said, get these kids away from Jesus? He said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. So kids, don't let anyone make you think that you are not important in the church or in God's kingdom. In fact, God wants to do big things for his kingdom through you right now. And actually, Jesus was telling the grown-ups, and he said, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you actually have to learn something from these kids, because they understand something about faith that not even you guys understand. So if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you have to be like these children in the way that you obey. So kids, you're a big deal in God's kingdom. We've been studying this book of Ephesians together. Everyone say Ephesians. Good job. And it was written by a guy named Paul. And Paul, like I said, he'd mostly been talking to the grown-ups, but right now he's talking to the kids. And what he's saying is what their job is as a part of the church. And so this is it. And kids, I want you to read this out as loud as you can. I'll count to three, and then I want you to read this verse on the screen as loud as you can. Ready? One, two, three. Stop. What did I say? Read it as boring and quiet as you can. Children, obey your parents. Come on, guys. One, two, three. Good job. Very good. We started together, ended a little fizzled out, but that was great. Good job, kids. That is your job. Your job is to obey your parents. I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit, but right now I actually want you guys to look at this video that talks about obeying your parents and what that means. It's going to give you some reasons why to obey your parents.
Hey kids, you know how some things in life are really important? Things like eating your veggies, brushing your teeth, and wearing your seatbelt.
Did you know the Bible tells us there's something that's more important than all those?
Well, that's what we're talking about today. Kids should obey their parents.
You don't have to obey your dog or your little sister.
But you do have to obey your parents.
Do you know what it means to really obey?
It means when your parents tell you to stop doing something, like picking your nose or hitting your little sister, then you stop doing those things. But obeying isn't just stopping when you're told.
It also means you go and do the things they ask you to do. Things like doing your homework or cleaning your room.
Now, you may not always want to obey your parents, but here's three reasons why you should.
First, because the Bible says so. Don't believe me? It's right here. Memory verse.
Obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. See, kids, it's in the Bible, so that means it's part of God's message to us.
If God says we should do it, we should definitely do it.
In fact, this is what the Bible says specifically to us kids.
It doesn't say, hey kids, go get a job and be sure to exercise every day. It simply says, listen to your parents and do what they say.
Second, because it pleases the Lord. That means it makes God happy. Don't you want to make God happy?
We should all want that. It's what we're supposed to do as Christians.
And if you want to be really good at making God happy when you're older,
you should definitely start right now. Last reason, because it protects us.
Let's demonstrate with this big hula hoop. It's a big O. O for obedience.
The Bible says God's rules and our parents are there for our protection.
So think of the O in obedience as a circle of protection. When we obey, we are safe. When we disobey, we are in danger.
Stay in the boundaries your parents set and you're safe. Step out, you're going to be in trouble.
Get the idea. It's for your protection.
So remember, kids, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, wear your seatbelt, but most importantly, remember, to obey your parents.
All right, so that video gave us three reasons of why you should obey your parents. Does everyone remember? Anyone remember what the first reason was? Because the what? Sis, yell it out. The Bible says so. Very good. Because the Bible says so. Who gave us the Bible? Yeah, God gave us the Bible. The Bible is God's message to us. And like the boy said in the video, if God says we should do something, do you think we should do it? Yeah, we should do it. The Bible is God's true word. And sometimes it's hard to follow God's commands, but if it's in the Bible, we need to do it. So the first reason, like they said, is because the Bible says so. Does anyone remember the second reason why we should obey? Because it, Tyler Salisbury nailed it, because it pleases God. Amazing. Who knows what that means, pleases God? What does that mean? It makes God what? Happy. That's exactly right. Now, does God's love for you ever change? No. But does it make him sad when we disobey? Yeah, let's think of an example. It's kind of like, let's say your mom tells you to clean your room. Who has ever had their mom tell them to clean their room? And let's say that you thought to yourself, instead of cleaning my room, which is boring, I'm going to get all the rest of my toys out and make my room an even bigger mess. Has anyone ever done that before? A couple people. Yeah, that's right. And when your mom came and checked on you to see how it was going cleaning your room, was she happy that your room was an even bigger mess? Did somebody say yes? Was she happy? She was not happy, was she? Did she still love you? Did her love for you change? No, her love didn't change. Of course she still loved you, but she was sad that you disobeyed. Now, the amazing thing about God is, guess what? God is even more patient and kind than even your mom or your dad. Isn't that crazy? We still need to do our best to please him. And the Bible tells us that obeying your parents pleases the Lord. So you need to obey your parents because the Bible says so and because it pleases God. Does anyone remember the third reason? I'm going to be really impressed if you do. Peyton Gunn's got it. What is it? It protects you us. Very good. Good job. It protects us. Now, kids, I need your parents. I don't want them to listen right now. I'm going to tell you a secret that maybe your parents have never told you before. And I won't tell them that I'm telling you this secret, okay? This is just between me and you. Are you ready? Your parents don't always know what they're doing. I know. Don't tell your parents that I said that, okay? You promise? Okay. Sometimes your parents are just kind of making things up as they go along. But guess what? They're doing their best. And even though your parents don't always know what they're doing, even though their rules might not always make sense, sometimes your mom or your dad or whoever's in charge of you might say, give you a rule and you say, that doesn't make sense at all. But guess what? They're giving you those rules for a reason, and one of those reasons is to protect you. And we're going to, so in the video they had that hula hoop. I don't have a hula hoop, but I do need some volunteers. We're going to kind of demonstrate this. I need my front row boys, really. Front row boys, Craig, you can stay there. Everyone else, come on up, front row boys. Come on, hurry, 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 come on. All right, I need you guys to come and just stand in that pink kiddie pool there for me. Get this mic on, Mark. All right. Can we all fit? Squeeze on in. I might have had too many. I didn't know you were all going to be in the front row this morning. All right, good enough. Hey, 1 foot in the kiddie pool, that counts for our demonstration. All right, here's my question. What are some rules that your parents have for you? What's some rules?
Brush your teeth at night.
Yeah.
Brush your teeth at night.
That's a great rule. Brush your teeth at night. Ethan, any rules in your household?
No, I can't remember.
Come back to you, okay? Anyone? Wow, all right, so.
I guess, like,
most things maybe you play, maybe play them downstairs.
Okay, like, yeah, if you're going to make a mess, maybe play downstairs. Yeah, very good.
Don't be that loud.
Don't be that loud. That's a great rule.
Don't break anything.
Don't break anything. You come up with anything yet?
Don't be mean to your sister.
Don't be mean to your sister. That is a great one. Now, what happens, Ethan, if you're mean to your sister? What happens to you?
You get punished.
You get what?
You get punished.
Like what? What's a punishment?
Yeah, get a spanking.
Get a spanking, all right?
I got one. Dad attacks me.
Dad, okay, all right. What are some other consequences?
Maybe like you get talked to or something.
Maybe get talked to, yeah. Very good. So that's called what? When you do something wrong, that is called?
Sin.
Consequences, right? Or sorry, when you do something wrong and then you have a punishment, that's called consequences. So we're going to say that this kiddie pool is obeying your parents. So as long as you are in the kiddie pool, you are obeying your parents. But let's say, Ethan, you decide you want to be mean to your sister. So you step out of the kiddie pool, and then you get... Oh, sorry, that was right in the eye. Sorry about that. Consequences. Tyler, let's say you want to disobey your mom. Consequences. Ethan, no? So what happens... All right, consequences. I didn't anticipate pushing each other out of the kiddie pool. That kind of hurts the metaphor if you're pushing each other out. So get back in. You got to get back in or you're going to experience. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Is it pleasant when you feel consequences if you get squirted in the eye by your pastor on stage in front of everyone? Does that feel good? It is just water. Yep. So what do those consequences make you want to do? Get back in the kiddie pool, right? Get back to where you don't have consequences. But here's the thing. Let's say I didn't have this bottle of water, and let's say that you just decided you're going to walk out of the kiddie pool, and you're just going to keep walking and not pay attention and walk 4 steps that way. What would happen? You fall right off the stage, and you get hurt. What's that? Unless it's a small step. But the farther away you get... Then we can pretend that it's a 300-foot cliff. That's right. And you would get really hurt. And so what that represents is what happens when we do what we want to do, when we're disobedient and we don't have any consequences, eventually we're going to get really hurt. And so what do these consequences actually do for us? It helps you what? Yeah. It helps you obey, and it keeps you from getting even more hurt. So obeying, so staying inside the kiddie pool, that's great, right? Obedience, no consequences, and you're not hurt, right? Step outside of the kiddie pool, but consequences, maybe you get sprayed in the face, right? But it helps you to get back to obedience. But without the consequences, which aren't fun, right? Without the consequences, we can get really hurt, can't we? Let's give our volunteers a round of applause. That was amazing. And I am going to hide this so that way I don't get retaliation after the service. There we go. Okay. Don't tell them where I put it. When Paul's quoting in verse 3 the Ten Commandments, he says, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He's referring to your protection. It's not like you'll never have anything wrong in your life if you obey your parents. But what he's saying, it is better to live, kids, in such a way that you are obeying because it is for your protection. And like I said, your parents aren't perfect, and there might be some rules that they have that you think are kind of dumb, and you don't know why you have to follow them. But most of the things that they do, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to say, you know what, that actually, I hate to admit it, but that made a lot of sense. And I know they did that because they loved me. So kids, you need to obey your parents because the Bible says so, because it's the right thing to do, and because it protects you from really bad things happening to you. Does that make sense? Yes. Thank you. All right. There's one more reason for obeying. This is really more geared towards parents. It's because it's right. This is what Paul says here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And when Paul says this is right, he's referring to how God ordered the household to operate. Wives submitting to husbands as to the Lord. Husbands loving and sacrificing for their wives like Christ loves the church. And children obeying their parents in the Lord. In fact, this is crazy to me. Disobeying parents is actually one of the key indicators of a society that has gone horribly wrong. And if you don't believe me, listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. This is a verse that has always kind of cracked me up, but the more I thought about it this week, the more it makes sense. He says, talking about just when the culture was given over to their sin. It says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So listen to all the consequences of what happened when God did that. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Doesn't that seem like it kind of comes out of left field a little? Like, that is a nasty list of things. And then boom, right there, right smack in the middle, disobedient to parents. And like I said, I've always kind of chuckled when I've read that verse at how that just really hits you. But then the more I've thought about it, I think it makes perfect sense. Because a society that doesn't answer to a higher authority begins with children who don't answer to any higher authority. And so parents, I'm talking to you now, it is so important, and I'm talking to you as somebody who is really trying to learn these things too, and really humble in this. I remember in seminary one time, we had a chapel speaker, and he had, I think, 7 kids, and he said, before I had any, I had used to have 0 kids and 7 theories about how to be a perfect parent. Now I have 7 kids and 0 theories about how to be a perfect parent. So I'm coming to you humbly with this and really still learning, but it is so important that you structure your household in such a way that your children know both the rules and the consequences for breaking them. I might be wading into some controversial territory here, but there's this strain of parenting that I'm seeing is more and more common with my generation that basically sets up the household with no rules and allows kids to do whatever they want. Some people call it free-range parenting, like they're free-range chickens. And the problem is some of your kids have the intelligence of a chicken, and they need a little bit more structure than just to be wandering around and making every decision and being the authority. And so I'm not trying to sound like an old man yelling, get off my lawn here, but man, if kids aren't ever learning how to operate in an ordered and structured environment, they're going to struggle to adjust to a society that operates in an ordered and structured way. And worse, if they grow up thinking the world revolves around them, they're going to leave the house thinking that the world revolves around them. And man, there's some real consequences for that later in life as well. Now, obviously, there's levels to this, and part of the challenge of parenting is figuring out how these different levels of structure work for different kids. I'm not saying there's just one way that works for every kid, but there has to be some structure. There has to be some clarity of these are the rules and these are the consequences if you break them, because the alternative, I think, is ending up raising narcissists, and we don't want to end up raising narcissists. So parents, what you're doing, you're not like squashing your kid by giving them clear boundaries. In fact, you are giving them the opportunity to practice being good members of society when you teach them what it means to be a good member of your household by obeying you and submitting to the authority figure that the Lord has placed in their life. And so children, obey your parents. The Bible says so, pleases the Lord, and protects you, and it's how God ordered things to work. All right, so that's the thing. Kids, obey your parents. You got that? Should I tell your parents what to do now, do you think? Okay, all right, we'll move on. All right, this next part is addressed to fathers. So I was thinking, you know, we just had the kids read the part that was addressed to them. Maybe we should have the fathers read this part. So do you think you guys can be louder than the kids? And probably not, but let's see how you do. All right, let's read this together, fathers. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up Amen. Amen. Now, it's interesting because while children are called to obey both parents, I think it's interesting only fathers are addressed here. There's a few reasons for that I'll get into in a second, but I just want to kind of start this section by saying that obviously not every family has a father and a mother at home. We have some single moms, single dads, divorced parents, some grandparents raising kids, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of different household structures represented even in our church. So this passage is addressing fathers, but the message is true for whoever is placed in an authority position over a child. Even grandparents with your grandkids, even if they're not, if you're not raising them, this applies to you as well. But I do think there's something kind of beautiful and convicting about Paul's instruction to fathers here. And so to understand what he's doing, we have to go back to this idea of this household code that we talked about last week. You see, Paul is following a common pattern of addressing the different relationships in the household and telling those with authority how to behave and those under authority how to behave. And the authority structure looks different with the different relationships, but that's the model. And so Paul's pattern is kind of address the one under the authority, address the one with authority, address the one under the authority, address the one in the authority, and on. That's his pattern here. And so this instruction of children to obey parents would have been very common, especially with some of the other household codes that we read last week. But then what you'd expect to come next would be fathers, make sure you keep your kids in line and don't let them get unruly, you know, something like that. In fact, in Roman culture, fathers had a legal right to absolute power over their sons. But what does Paul say here? Again, he flips the authority structure on its head and makes it clear that fathers are supposed to lead by serving, just like Jesus. Jesus, who, by the way, has absolute legal right to authority over us, but doesn't exercise that power by force, does he? He gently and lovingly corrects and disciplines us to make us into the people that we're created to be. And so I think a good rule of thumb here is don't be harsher on your kids than Jesus is on you. If Jesus is gracious and kind and patient and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, I think that's the same way we should be parenting our kids. And this is so stinking convicting because as a father, I know how easily I can fail at this. I was just trying to brainstorm like different ways that fathers can just easily provoke their kids and exasperate their kids and make their kids angry and make their kids feel like they can never do enough. And this is just the list I came up with. There's more, but unrealistic expectations, harping on every little mistake, not being patient, not taking the time to teach them things, not giving grace when they make a mistake, not being consistent about when we apply discipline, not being clear about the rules they're supposed to follow, not following through when you promise you're going to play with them or do something for them, not spending enough time with them, and on and on. I could keep going. One commentator put it like this. He said, "The irritation caused by nagging and demeaning fathers in the context of everyday life may in turn cause children to become angry. This anger grows, no doubt, out of the frustration of never being able to please fathers who constantly nag or demean them." And this is, it's just a real danger. And so Paul says, instead of that, I love this, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As we close here this morning, I want to focus on those last three words of the Lord. I want us to think back to this kiddie pool up here and the consequences for leaving it and what happens when that happens. There's a lot of reasons why fathers or parents would provoke their children to anger by the way they parent. And maybe it's fear of the outside world. Maybe you're worried that your child isn't going to measure up to the other kids. Maybe your dad was really harsh with you, and that's kind of all that you know. But when we think back here, we need to be clear. So your kids need to obey for their protection and safety. But your kids' protection and safety cannot be the ultimate goal of your parenting. Say that again. Your kids need to obey for their protection and safety, but your kids' protection of safety cannot be the ultimate goal of your parenting. If your only goal in parenting is to keep your child safe, you're going to end up strangling them. The goal of your parenting isn't safety. It's to help your child become dangerous for the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And this is the absolute hardest thing that I've had to wrestle with in parenting so far, is that Owen is my child, but he's ultimately the Lord's. He doesn't belong to me. He belongs to God. And God has given me temporary authority to raise up Owen in the discipline and instruction of the Lord so that the Lord can use him for his kingdom and for his glory. And that's what I want. So our goal can't be safety. It's not to keep them in the kiddie pool forever. In fact, as they grow, that kiddie pool was comically small for our demonstration this morning. It's going to grow, right? They're going to explore the world more and more and learn more and more things. And the point is that they're ready to be used for the kingdom. That you've given them every opportunity to love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind and with all their strength. And you can't force that, right? There's no guarantee that your child's going to grow up to love Jesus. There's many in this room who have did everything they could with their kids growing up, and still some of them are wandering from the Lord, and pray for them all the time. You're not going to guarantee that your child's going to grow up to love Jesus. It's ultimately God's responsibility. But what you can do is raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, not provoking them to anger with unrealistic expectations or constant harping or overreacting or anything else. And parents, you're not going to be perfect at this. Again, I say this, preach this from just such a place of humility. You're going to mess up. Owen can tell you. Just a couple days ago, I had to apologize to him because he said something, and I just responded so harshly immediately, and just like, I had to say sorry, didn't I, buddy? Yeah, I did. And that's part of grace-filled parenting. If you want your child to grow up with the ability to admit when they're wrong, we need to be willing to humble ourselves as parents and admit when we messed up. Children, obey your parents. Parents, raise up your children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And then finally, I just want to say, like, this takes the whole church to do this. And parents, you're not on your own with this by any means. We talked about at the end of the service about grace marriage, but then also having an opportunity for a mentor if you're younger couple or just a couple that's really going through a hard time. And I haven't had anyone take me up on that yet. I really want you to, because this, to walk through life and to make parenting decisions and to talk about, okay, this is what happened last week, and this is how I responded. Did I do the right thing? Did I do the right wrong thing? And to have people who have been through these kinds of things to be able to give their wisdom and their mistakes that they've made in the past, like, that's what the church is all about. Like, we're doing this together. And then not to mention just the vast amount of volunteers that it takes, and volunteers, I think, is the wrong word, missionaries that we have working down in the children's wing, pouring into our kids on a weekly basis, teaching them about the Bible, teaching them about God's Word, making them breakfast on a Sunday morning, all these things that take place so that we as the church can raise up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, man, again, I just want to encourage you, and if you're not a part of that, if you're not a part of teaching our kids, I really want to encourage you to think about and pray about if the Lord is calling you to volunteer in an official capacity, or even just like being the kind of person who after church on Sunday, we got kids running around, you just get down on a knee and give the kid a high five, you know? Every little thing contributes towards raising kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and it takes the whole church. Amen? So parents, yeah, you have the main responsibility, but we're called to do our part. So kids, obey your parents. That's what God's called you to do. I know it's not always the most exciting thing to hear, but I promise you, if you want to follow Jesus, if you say, I want to be the kind of person who follows Jesus with my whole heart, with my whole life, I want Jesus to use me in big ways. I want to do great things for his kingdom. Well, guess what? It starts now obeying your parents. And if God can trust you to obey your parents now, he's going to give you greater and greater opportunities to make a big difference as you get older in the kingdom. Amen? And parents, love your kids. Raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And all of us, let's do our part to pour into the next generation of people who are going to do awesome things for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you even for these times in your word when you speak to children and that you make it clear that children are not second-class citizens in your kingdom, God, but you call the children to come to you. So, Lord, I pray for any kids, if there's kids in here that haven't yet made the decision that they want to confess their sins and follow Jesus, God, I pray that they would do that, Lord. I pray that they would go home and talk to their parents about that today and that they would be baptized and that they would begin that journey of following you, Lord. I pray for parents in this room and grandparents and those who have any part in a child's life. Which is all of us, Lord. I pray that you give us grace, you give us wisdom, you guide us, Lord. Give us humility, and may we love like Jesus loves us, which, as we've talked about today, is beyond what we can possibly imagine. We love you. We thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.